This is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack, as usual, the big political stories. I'm Mike Siluma, and thanks for joining us. This weekend, the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal holds its provincial conference as part of the build-up to the all-important ANC National Conference in December, which will, among other things, choose a new leader for the organization and, by extension, for the country. On the Politics Weekly this time, therefore, we look at the significance of the weekend conference and also at the key players and factions which are squaring up. For our conversation, I'm joined by Sunday Times Politics editor Sibongiseni Shoba, as well as Dr. Fikile Vilakazi, who teaches public policy and political science at UKZN at the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
With immediate effect.
When people resolve.
And I quote, in 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding. Unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order, ruling party by point of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
So the ANC president was sabotaged again yesterday?
Well, sabotage, that can be
this
determined.
This is not a shit.
Can you please come in?
Welcome to the both of you. Let us start with you. You know, there are provincial conferences and there are provincial conferences. Would you say that the KZN provincial conference is one of the key ones that are happening in the run-up to December?
Thank you so much for inviting me, Brother Mike, and greetings to my fellow guests. Brother Mike, we've always said on this show that if ever there was going to be any kind of opposition to President Cyril Ramaphosa's return in December, it will have to come from KwaZulu-Natal. If not, then it won't be strong enough. That is why this conference is crucial leading up to December, but it's not as straightforward as that, Mike, because the dynamics in KZN are very complex. They are not as straightforward as pro-Cyril or against Cyril when it comes to this particular conference. They are complex in such a manner that within different groupings, there are differences that have nothing to do with national politics. It's differences that have to do with the local dynamics of the province or of the particular regions that are expected to participate in this conference. So we shouldn't really look at every dynamic or development with an eye of the national conference. But some of those dynamics and developments have to do with the local issues, be it historical issues between leaders, be it previous contests that took place here, or different plans about how to, or different ideas about how to take the province forward. So, yeah, it's a very complicated situation that we have here in KZN, but it's going to be key to look at whether the key people who support the president actually emerge or they get defeated. Without a doubt, the president's people in other provinces or at national level will be keeping a close eye on what happens in KZN.
In terms of the stats and numbers, do those matter? In other words, does it come down to numbers, or will it be more nuanced from a political point of view?
Numbers are very important in ANC conferences, Mike. So as you know, KZN will probably send the biggest delegation to the December conference. So it becomes very, a very important province. That is why there is so much contest taking place. And that is why many national leaders, have a very keen interest in the outcome of KZN, because numbers will really count when it comes to the voting in December, if there is any contest.
Dr. Vilakazi, but that having been said, one would expect that KZN would want to work with other provinces to get its program going, whatever is whether from a policy point of view or from the election of leadership.
I was just saying, Bramaik, that KZN is not going to be able to do it by itself. You know, it does need some kind of collaboration from other provinces, you know, who share a similar agenda, perhaps with them, who share similar political interests. They would certainly not get that support from the Eastern Cape, I would imagine, because the Eastern Cape is largely, you know, a base that is supporting the current Honorable President, Cyril Ramaphosa. So they would need to look perhaps at Mpumalanga. They may need to look at, you know, perhaps Northwest and so on, to be able to build up that kind of support. I mean, there are certain regions within the Eastern Cape that would probably support KZN. So there's going to be a need to then to do that work of lobbying, just within, you know, the different provinces and the different structures and the regions, inter and intra-regional lobbying of varied interests. So it is not an easy way that KZN, because of numbers that it has here, because of the branches that it has here and the power that it carries within the ANC, that it will just, you know, influence December outcomes. Mainly because, Bramaik, of the developments, you know, that we have been seeing in terms of the changes of dynamics, even within the African National Congress itself, as my colleague Usibonga Wonge is saying, within the branches, you know, branches are divided. Branches have got different views. KZN is a province that has been killing its own cadres, you know, for positions, for power, for occupation, and for many other reasons. So those divisions are likely also to sort of weaken its wings as it goes towards the national conference. So it's important to galvanize also within other provinces and other spaces where it can have shared interest.
We're talking very, very lightly about divisions and about differences. The differences, is there a level at which, from where you're sitting, where the differences emanate from ideology or political beliefs or policies for the country or for the province, or is it about something else completely?
That's a very interesting question, brother. The differences are very little to do with policy. The differences are largely driven by personal interests. So you have different groupings. For instance, let me give you an example, Bramite. In the beginning of the year, there were so many factions in KZN, and maybe I could count about six that existed. But that number is shrinking because people are talking and they agree on the kind of leadership that they want. And then they form one grouping. For instance, Ramaphosa's backers have now found a home in the camp that supports the incumbent chairperson, Premier Sekhetsa. So that group, those groupings have now come together, and now they've formed one solid slate that they've put together that they will put to contest for positions. But there's other groupings. There's a group called the Taliban, which was a group of different regional leaders, which was led by the former mayor of Newcastle. So that grouping on its own got its own slate. And then there's another grouping which is largely seen as pro Jacob Zuma grouping, that also has its own slate. So in the past 4 weeks or so, there's been different slates coming out of these different groupings. But we understand that the Sizwe grouping and the pro president Ramaphosa grouping have managed to consolidate. What is outstanding now, Bramaik, is for the group that is opposed to Sihle Zikalala, that does not want him to actually form its own slate. What we understand is that there are many people who want different positions. For instance, the position of chairperson, you have someone like Nomusa Dube, challenging for the position. We have someone like Sboniso Duma, as stated, challenging for the position. You have a Durban businessman, Sandile Zuma, also challenging for this particular position. So you have those names being thrown out, and certain groupings are really failing to reach some kind of a consensus. In the same anti-Zikalala grouping for the secretary position, you have Peggy Mtolo, the former regional secretary of the Youth League in the province, who is one of the favorites to take it. And then you have Super Zuma, who is said to be favored by the former president Jacob Zuma and also by Zandile Gumede, is also in line for this position. And there are other people as well for different positions. So this grouping has been trying to really come up with one consolidated slate that will take on the pro-Zikalala slate. But it seems as if those attempts have not yielded any results so far. We understand that even here in eThekwini, where this event is going to be hosted, there was a meeting of the of branches yesterday, and as well as the leaders of the region. And in that meeting, they failed to come up with one name for chairperson, one name for secretary, and they fought overnight. And we're here that even today, there's going to be attempts to try and put those groupings together. That's where we are, Pramike. There are really serious differences about the kind of leadership that needs to come out here. And to again answer your question, it has little to do with policies or the direction that the province should take. Mainly, it's about putting the people who will serve other people's interest in those key positions.
Mm. Dr. Vilakazi, I'd like you to come in here. Can you remember a time when the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal was so divided from the point of view of not even being able to reach a consensus on candidates to field?
You know, KZN has always been a divided a province politically, you know, Bramike, over time. But I mean, if we think about the previous provincial elections, you know, where Sihle Zikalala was appointed, even though there were, you know, divisions that were happening, there were still killings that are based on you know, politics, Sihle Zikalala still was able to get nominated really uncontested. So those divisions were not as wide as we see them, you know, as we are heading towards this provincial conference in 2016, 2017. You know, they were able to sort them out within the branches in some form. But my reading is that I think what we are seeing happening now with these more than five slates really emerging from branches and from regions and from individuals within the ANC, I think it's just a different kind of the deepening of division that we are seeing this time around. You know, I mean, you know, the kinds of decisions we've seen over the past, even before 2015, even before then, were really about the positions for money, positions for survival, really. And I would like to perhaps say that the divisions that we see are not just about bread and butter issues, in my view. The radical economic transformation is very, very particular to say we need to transform the economic conditions of our people. And you must look at the ANC then as an employer, as an economic entity that enables members of the ANC themselves, people who are working in branch offices, people who are working in regional offices, to sustain their jobs, to sustain their sources of income through the ANC. So it's both bread and butter issues, but I also think there are ideological issues that are pushing, you know, some of the divisions that we see. There is hope at an ideological level that if the radical economic transformation perhaps can get as many bodies as possible into positions of power and leadership, that then those who need to change their conditions of living, their livelihoods, would also benefit from that ideological standpoint, but also then the praxis that emerges from that. So those divisions have always been there. But I think what we are seeing now is really just people who want something different, people who are tired about the manner in which the organization is being led. And my sense is that I think this is the worst kind of division that we have seen over time within the province.
If you were a betting person, I suspect you are not. If you were a betting person, Would you see Sihle Zikalala as surviving and staying on?
You know, my reading is that there will be probably contestation between Sihle Zikalala no Mama Ncube. Right, Utube Ncube, and the reasons are that the voter within the African National Congress is really looking for something different now, you know, from the candidates that are being put forward. Sihle Zikalala, as indicated by Mr. Shoba, really brings a particular kind of leadership within the African National Congress, is pushing the agenda of unity, pushing the agenda of renewal. But Mama Utube Ncube also has a particular agenda that is feminist in nature, you know, that is sort of gender-based in nature. And people are saying, we just need something new. We need a new ANC. And a new ANC is not just about renewal and unity, but it's also about shaping the strategic direction of the organization. So for that reason, for that kind of tiredness, perhaps Sihle Zikalala is really in for a high contest this time around. It may not necessarily be easy for him. But again, I think, you know, for reasons that have been stated by Mr. Shoba, probably Mr. Zikalala is likely to retain his position, simply because the radical economic transformation, as much as it is really requiring this something new, and other people who are individuals who are really like Uzungu, who really are bringing something different within the organization, are not clearly also articulating what their vision is, right? And that is something that may weaken their support, and it may then make Sihle Zikalala a candidate that would need to be retained, because it's clear he is for renewal, he is for unity, and that's the agenda that is linked to President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Hey, Mr. Shoba, let me ask you the million dollar question, to use an analogy. Can anyone talk succession, elections, and just put political choices in KZN without taking into account, of course, the position of former President Jacob Zuma? In other words, how much of a factor does he remain in the politics of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, particularly with this conference?
Brian, there's no doubt that former President Jacob Zuma still wields some kind of influence over some leaders of the ANC and members of the ANC. The majority of them, they love him. There's no doubt that he does wield some kind of influence. But it seems as if this time around, Brian, as much as the RET forces, they love him and they respect him, it seems as if his preference are not really finding support, unless something happens between now and tomorrow. For an example, Super Zuma, the man that President Zuma wants to be the provincial secretary of KwaZulu-Natal. In fact, when Dumisani Ntuli was elected Secretary General, Provincial Secretary here in this province, we were told that the former president was not happy because he wanted Super Zuma. And Super Zuma is back again contesting. And we are told that that's the man he wants to be Secretary, Provincial Secretary. And that is why someone like Zandile Gumede will be pushing for someone like Super Zuma. But that name in the RT forces, Bramaika, I can tell you now, is not popular. It's not a name that is getting nominations from branches. Instead, the RET forces, in their majority, we've been told that they've been nominating the former provincial secretary of the UCLIC in this province, Begin Tolo. And that is the man that they think could challenge Thomson Ntuli for that position, which tells you that as much as President Zuma remains very popular and people here love him, his influence in terms of influencing conference outcomes is now very much limited, Brahman.
Dr. Vilakazi, what is the attraction, the political attraction of former President Jacob Zuma in the politics of KZN?
You know, that's a million-dollar question, but like, you know, I do not know, hey? I think it's just something about our psyche as a people, because Unomusa Dube Ncube, you know, has drilled this thing also to the psyche of citizens in the province to say, as we are heading towards the province, it is very critical that we go back and consult with our elders. And she was making particular reference to the former minister Uzweli Mkhize and the former president Jacob Zuma, you know, as if there is really some kind of anointing that needs to come from there. And that's how dictatorship, you know, disturbs our psyche, because the presidency of former president Jacob Zuma really has some traits of dictatorship in it, I would argue, right? And it has left this thing in the minds of members of the African National Congress in particular, that if they need to do anything around leadership, around programming, around the strategic direction of the organization, they would always need to have some kind of anointing from the former president Jacob Zuma, as if he is really some kind of a king, you know? So there is that cult thing that that is sitting within the spirit of the organization, within the consciousness of the organization, that keeps attracting people to that kind of leadership. And I'm not sure what it is, Bramike. I'm also trying to dig into it to say, what is this thing that keeps drawing people back into this particular type of leadership? There's a certain kind of dependence that is happening. And in my view, I think it really has got very strong economic elements to it. I really still think that what we are calling radical economic transformation is really that kind of thing that is about sustenance of livelihoods, is about sustenance of incomes. Because remember, the people we're talking about that are contesting within the African National Congress, who've been running the organization, are people that have been in exile, are people that really have been in Umkhonto weSizwe, have lived in the forests, and the only life they've ever known is really that of being politicians. They've never worked, most of them, for any other organization. So if you then have to lose power through elections or through lack of confidence from citizens, it means you go back to the ranks of unemployment, and no one wants that kind of fate. So it is important for them then to keep drawing back to the former president Jacob Zuma, because he represents that kind of charisma, the charisma that says, we will die for the spirit of the ANC. We will die fighting. We are not going to lose. And he appears then as this super political, spiritual being that holds the network and the consciousness of the organization. And for someone then who doesn't get that anointing from him, it almost feels like those people are not really trusting themselves and are dwindling in terms of how they can take the organization and where they should be taking the organization to. So it's quite a complex issue, troubling at the same time, because it means that even as he is no longer a president of the ANC and of the country, there's some holding, you know, that is sitting within the African National Congress. And I've always asked myself this question: why is it that the African National Congress has never expelled former President Jacob Zuma? Because the constitution of the ANC enables them to do that. You know, given the charges that he's carrying against his name, there are enough those charges for the Integrity Committee to have made that decision to say, you need to leave the ANC because you've put the organization into disrepute. But they haven't done that. And it is that thing, Bramike. It is that attraction to that kind of leadership. And perhaps because he was really in the intelligence, you know, during exile, he was at the center of the intelligence of the African National Congress. So he knows certain things about certain people. And those kinds of things, if are revealed, perhaps really could be a matter of life and death for certain cadres within the ANC. And you know, I'm suspicious that I could be right. My reading could be right, because Uyesu Magashule recently, with the death of Umama uJesse Duwat, said that Jesse Duwat actually has revealed certain secrets that, if shared in the public, could really be the end of the ANC. And my sense is that I think the former president Jacob Zuma holds that kind of intelligence, which is the kind of intelligence that Arthur Fraser has used against President Honorable Cyril Ramaphosa. You know, so there's certain things that they're sitting with. And I think it is that cult thing. It feels like cult, but I think it is that kind of knowing Everybody knows it is a matter of life and death. You need to get the anointing. You need to get the approval, because if you don't, then you just won't be able to exist. There's no way you can lead this organization. It is grounded in that kind of intelligence, which is problematic and toxic.
Mr. Shoba, just to round it off for us, Udokotela has just mentioned the name of the president, you know, and Arthur Fraser in a slightly different context. But overall, looking at the state of affairs in KZN, as we've just discussed, how much support would you say President Ramaphosa still has or has in KZN? Are there people who support him, who will go out on a limb for him? Or is it people who are just waiting to see where the wind blows?
Pramay, there are people who support the current president in KZN. They might not be in majority, but their leaders are known. For an example, the MEC of Human Settlements in KZN, John Mosbia, is a well-known backer of President Cyril Ramaphosa. You have the former leader of the Lower South Coast, Zwandile Mkhwanazi, very much known to be a pro-Ramaphosa leader. You have Thabane Nyawo saying here in eThekwini, who's part of the RAC, very much known to be a pro-Cyril Ramaphosa. So you do have people who support Cyril Ramaphosa. That's why the slate, funny enough, Bramike, the slate that is backing Sihle Zikalala in KZN, the other grouping, the opposite grouping, has nicknamed it the Angoles. They are called Ama Angole Amahle, which is in reference to the president's cattle. So it tells you that there is a presence of President Ramaphosa's supporters here in this province. Whether they are in majority remains to be seen. But what I can tell you this, Frank, is that there are people who support Sihle Zikalala, but who don't necessarily support the president. There are people who support Joe Mosbia in KZN, but who don't necessarily support the president. And in the other camp, like it's vice versa. But those people are in minority. But the fact that there is a camp here that is called Ama Angole, it tells you that the president has some kind of support in this province.
Okay, sorry, I had to stop myself from laughing. Actually, hey, Dr. Villegas, did you ever think you'd come to a point where the affections in the ANC called Ama Angole and the Taliban?
It is the end of the world. It's
yes,
a new
as we know it. Yes,
the
yes.
End of the world as we know it, and perhaps the end of the ANC. That should tell you, if we've got Ama Angole within the African National Congress and the Taliban, we no longer have the ANC. The ANC is dead. We have Ama Angole. That's what we've got, and I think that's the reality. It's a symbolism. It's such a symbolism that really that is what the ANC has become.
Yes. We've just about run out of time with my guests on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, and we'll wrap it up there for this week. And once more to thank my guests. Dr. Fikile Vilakazi, who's a lecturer in public policy and political science at the University of KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Sunday Times Politics editor Sibongakonke Shoba. I thank you very much both for your time and your contribution and your interesting perspectives. I'm Mike Siluma. Until next time, do stay safe, stay blessed, and let's do good for our country.